This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Our guest today has looked at thousands of resumes, and she says job seekers routinely fail to include five things that matter to employers. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? Cassie Ademola is here to talk about what your resume is missing. She's a human resources leader, a career brand polisher, and a professional resume writer. Cassie joins us from Seattle, Washington. Well, let's jump right into it, Cassie. You're a professional resume writer, and you say many resumes are missing five important elements, and we're going to walk through them one by one, but how did you find this out?
I found this out by reviewing thousands of resumes, both in the U.S. and overseas. And I consistently got resumes that were just missing several things. So just over my 10 years of human resources profession, I've been able to be on the other side where I got to receive these resumes. And I just couldn't help but notice several things that were missing that probably could have gotten the candidate to the next level.
Well, let's talk about what happens if you don't include one or more of these five missing elements. You said they don't get to the next level. What does that mean, Cassie?
Well, when we look at several resumes as a recruiter or a hiring manager, we get thousands of resumes. So what we do is condense the amount of resumes we get by creating three piles: a yes pile, a no pile, and a maybe pile. So if you don't have one of these things just jumping off the page for me, then I usually either put you in the no pile or the maybe pile, but the goal is to always end up in the yes pile.
Why don't candidates include these five missing parts? What's going on?
Well, a lot of the times when people are putting together the resume, they're not either reaching out to someone who's a professional or taking the time to deep dive the biology of a resume. So they don't understand really what the clear things that would attract the recruiter or pull at their heartstrings to get them to that next level. So for the most part, it's all about understanding what are the best parts of your career story to put on your resumes. And sometimes candidates don't think about that as much because this is not their actual profession or this is not something they're an expert at.
Again, we're going to walk through the five missing parts one by one. But in general, Cassie, why do employers want to see these things on a resume?
Well, they typically want to see these things because they need confidence to present your case to the hiring manager. If they have to do any type of guesswork or spend any more than 6 seconds looking at your resume, then they don't have that confidence that, hey, we have the right candidate that aligns with the needs and the pain points of the company and the culture of the organization, and they will quickly move on because they have just so many resumes to look forward to.
Here's the good news. The five missing parts, these are actually things that are in your control that you can fix on your own, aren't they?
Yes. If you take the time, you'll be surprised that these are the things that can actually get you to the next level. All it takes is you actually listening to different podcasts like this, or just doing the deeper dive to understand what can make me stand out and be distinctive in a pool full of 10,000 candidates or more. So this is something you can definitely do on your own if you take the time to.
Okay, let's walk through your list, Cassie. The first item on your list of five missing elements in resumes is project-based achievements. What are these and why do you need them on your resume?
Well, project-based achievements are simply just listing the projects and the details of those projects that you've worked on in that specific position and adding it to the resume. Oftentimes, I see candidates just either cut and paste what's on the job description and put on their resume, but there's no details of the successful projects they've completed. I've attended several conventions where I spoke to recruiters, and this was the number one things that they would love to see on a resume is the projects that you led, the name of the projects, how many people you worked with to get that project to completion, who you partnered with, and how long that project took. So when it comes to projects, listing the time frame is also important to them as well, so they can see your productivity and efficiency when it comes to that project.
And why do the recruiters you talk to care about this, Cassie? Why do they want to see these kinds of results and the details that you just described? Why does that make a difference?
Well, when a recruiter sees the details of the project, they actually begin to imagine you outperforming that same project within the company that they're recruiting for. So again, it's instant gratification to the recruiter to say, hey, I believe this candidate can solve our pain point because they completed this project within the organization. So it's something that brings that instant gratification and that confidence to the recruiter that, hey, this person knows exactly what they're doing in their role.
What advice would you have for a listener who wants to do this? What's a good process for putting project-based achievements in your resume?
Well, what I love to do is use a framework called the WHO method, which is what you did, how you did it, and the outcome. So first, I would start to think of all the projects that I've done in my position that was either recognized or notable or had a specific time frame, or you work cross-functionally with people, and just list out at least three projects that you've done in that role, and then use the WHO framework to position your bullet points. Exactly what the project was, how you did the project and the skills used to complete the project, and the outcome of that project. How many people were affected? How much was productivity increased? And were you able to complete that project within the right time frame?
What tips would you have for a listener who is perhaps mid-career or further along in their career? And perhaps these achievements happened a long time ago. They didn't keep records. They might not have that level of detail. What have you seen work for people in that situation?
Well, the best thing you can do is hopefully you're still in contact with a lot of the amazing people you worked with back in the day. So if you're someone who completed an amazing project from years ago, go ahead and try to not make it an unsolved mystery and sit back and reflect on that project on your own first. And then maybe reach out to some colleagues that you worked with in the past. And of course, greet them with pleasantries and then ask like, hey, we worked on this project together. Would you happen to remember the name of the project or how many people were affected by this project or any of the amazing outcomes that happened because of this project? And just jot them down. This would be something that'll be effective on the resume. And depending on the role, you can put that project at the top of your resume if it's relevant to the role that you're applying to.
And to provide some context, Cassie, we're not talking about a lot of text here. You might perhaps 3, 4, 5 sentences. What have you seen be effective?
Well, one thing that's effective is if you use the WHO framework, it keeps your bullet point and the project you use in a concise manner. So for example, what you did, created a first of its kind AI tool, how you did it by leveraging a Python system to get that done, and the outcome, which affected 30,000 users by the end of 2022. So that effective framework on how to craft that bullet point is a way to kind of structure your project that is clear and concise. And usually this goes at the top of the resume in a career achievement section where recruiters can see that instantly.
Terrific. We're going to take a break, Cassie. Stay with us when we return. Cassie Ademola will continue to share her advice on what your resume is missing. Has Cassie inspired you to update your resume? Go to maxlist.org/top resume. The experts at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Learn how you can make your resume better on your own, or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Cassie Ademola. She's a human resources leader, a career brand polisher, and a professional resume writer. Cassie joins us from Seattle, Washington. Now, Cassie, before the break, we were talking about the five elements that you as a professional resume writer have seen missing from many, many resumes. And you walked us through number one on your list, project-based achievements. Let's talk about the second item that you say job seekers need to include, and that is to talk about collaboration. Why do you need to talk about collaboration on your resume, Cassie?
Well, one of the number one skills that recruiters look for, or even an organization looks for, is teamwork and collaboration. A lot of the times I see candidates leave off their partnerships on their resume, and that can kind of eliminate them from a position or a role.
So why do employers care about this? Tell us more about what employers are looking for when they want you to write about collaboration. You mentioned partnerships. Break that down for us.
So for example, I had a client who did so many amazing things in partnership with another department or in partnership with another boss, but they failed to put that on their resume. And they were actually instrumental in developing one of the most amazing contributions to that company, but left it off their resume because they felt like it wasn't their idea and they did not spearhead it. But if an organization uses your skill, I want people to understand that that is now your achievement as well. So recruiters find this important to see because, again, it shows your high-level collaboration skills, and it also highlights your relationship-building skill, which is needed every single day, day-to-day, in your role or in any company you join.
What are some of your tips for how best to describe your skills at relationship building, partnership building, and collaboration in general?
Well, one of my favorite ways to do this is, again, think about all the projects that you worked with in the organization and who you partnered with. So if the marketing department used you for a particular thing that brought an additional $30,000 to the bottom line, or maybe your boss needed your help to put together a certain project and they had to utilize your skills, when it comes to a resume, I like to start the bullet point in these three ways. Either instrumental in developing and then list that project and the outcome, or if you co-authored an SOP or a guide, then start your bullet point with co-authored and then put the certain thing that you co-authored, or you can start your bullet point with partnered with the senior leadership to, and then list that project and the outcome of that project. And I wouldn't use the word assisted, okay? Assisted kind of minimizes your work. Use either instrumental in developing, co-authored, or partnered with senior leadership too, and then put that amazing achievement on your resume.
I'm glad you called out those three words as well as provided some context about assisted. Any other favorite action verbs that you use or recommend to help someone describe their collaboration with others?
So some other things that you can use besides instrumental in developing, co-authored, or partnered, you can also list maybe coordinated top-level achievements to do and then list the people that you work with, or maybe developed a first-of-its-kind project in partnership with, and then list those other people that you work with and the amazing outcome of that project.
A third element you say is often missing from resumes are numbers, metrics, and dollar signs. Cassie, why do these three things, numbers, metrics, and dollar signs, matter to employers on your resume?
Well, with every project or new initiative, there's an opportunity to talk about measurable outcomes. And this just jumps off the page to recruiters. When I see a resume and I see those percentages, those numbers, those metrics, that actually takes away all the guesswork from the work that I'm doing. And again, gives me confidence that this person can be quantitative and measurable when it comes to their role.
What's the best way to use numbers, metrics, and dollar signs on your resume?
Well, the best way to use numbers, dollars, and metrics on your resume is, again, throughout your career, you should be tracking the outcome of your work. And if you're in a position where the company does not track metrics and KPIs and numbers, you can do this on your own. So for example, if you're on a team where there's 10 professionals and half of them went to the next level because of your leadership skills, then you can put 50% of the team was promoted under your leadership. That's just a high level example. Or talk about the number of people you work with on the team. Often I see candidates just put, I worked on a team with marketing professionals, but list how many professionals, how many people were in the department, or if you're working on a certain project where you support a number of individuals, put the number of people you supported. Or if you're over like payroll and you're over a payroll amount of $30,000, put that number there. That'll be exceptional and easy for recruiters to see.
Some listeners might be concerned that because they're working at a small organization, that the numbers they share might not impress employers. What would you say to someone like that?
Numbers always impress employers. Any type of measurable outcome or impact impresses employers. They want you to be distinctive and unique, and numbers highlight that. So if you support a 500 team company, then put 500, and then that allows recruiters to understand the capacity that you're able to handle, especially if you're applying to a company where you also have to support 500 individuals. So no matter how small the team, go ahead and put those numbers, because again, that shows that you have attention to detail.
Number four on your list of five missing elements from resumes is proofreading. Cassie, what happens when you don't proofread your resume and an employer sees a typo?
Well, the thing is, you risk the chance of being someone who is seen as not having a level of accuracy or attention to detail or professionalism. You have a huge body of work here, and this marketing tool is what you need to get you to the next level. And when you have a typo, it kind of shifts the perspective of how a recruiter views, again, your attention to detail or your brand as a professional.
Can having a typo actually move your resume to the no pile?
I believe it can, and I've seen it done. There's been cases where a client might have showed up a little bit late to a meeting or to an interview, but then the hiring manager also sees a typo. You kind of lose grace there, because not only did you show up late, but you also have a typo on your resume as well. It can move you to the no pile, especially if it leads to miscommunication or misinterpretation of your achievements and qualifications. So it's best to proofread so it ensures that your intended message is clear and concise and accurate. And with words, you know, just one word out of place or one typo out of place can kind of shift the entire message that you're trying to put forward. So yes, I would definitely take the time to proofread.
And how do you recommend proofreading a resume, Cassie? Can you rely on spell check alone, or do you suggest doing something else?
Well, one thing you can do is, of course, after you completed your resume, it is a huge body of work and has taken a lot of your time. So I would step away from the resume a little bit and come back to it maybe the next day with some fresh eyes so that it makes it easier for you to spot errors. Or again, you can use some AI tools like Grammarly. Put your resume through Grammarly and it can kind of pick up those typos and those errors for you. Or again, you can give it to a career coach or someone who is a professional in resume writing. For example, myself, I can get a resume and point out a typo or some grammatical errors in like 5 seconds, because this is what my eye is used to doing and this is what my profession is. So yes, you can step away or you can use an AI tool or reach out to someone who does this full time so they can help you with that process.
The final item on your list of five missing elements from resumes is a career brand. Tell us what you have in mind here, Cassie.
Yeah, so when it comes to your resume, I think a lot of people just put what they do and that's it. And they're afraid to get a little bit unconventional by mentioning their career brand story. So a personal brand refers to the unique combinations of skills, expertise, and values, and the reputation that distinguishes an individual from their field or industry. So for example, what I mean by career brand is being a little bit unique to how you show up on your resume. So for example, if you're known as Mr. Fix-It in your job, go ahead and put Mr. Fix-It somewhere on your resume. Or if you're helmed as the top relationship builder, go ahead and put helmed as the top relationship builder, either within your career story tagline or in your professional summary. Or if you're always uniquely known for getting things done, you can go ahead and put known for getting things done on your resume.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation. Cassie, now tell us what's next for you.
So in the works, I have several things. My dream is to build a digital store of career tools that professionals can use to enhance their career destiny. So right now, I am working on an interview prep for success course, which is a self-paced course for people to understand how to package their success stories in one place and articulate that with structured communication to recruiters. So I have this course coming out along with other digital products on my website.
Well, congratulations on the upcoming launch of that course.
Thank
I know
you.
Listeners can learn more about you and your work and your upcoming course by visiting your website. And that URL is www.myprofessionalagenda.com. And you also invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. As always, when listeners do reach out to you, I hope they'll mention they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Cassie, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about what your resume is missing?
One thing I want people to remember is this is your document that represents your career story. And do not be afraid to be unconventional with your resume and list things that stand out so you can attract a role that aligns with your calling.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Michael Ramirez. He's a talent acquisition manager at the Oregon Health and Science University. It's a public research university in Portland, Oregon. You have a personal brand, whether you know it or not. And how you use it to present yourself to others can make a big difference in your job search. Join us next Wednesday when Michael Ramirez and I talk about how to create and share your personal brand. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton Huff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislinberry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.